podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm trying to promote my team here, James. Do me a favour.
Yeah, mate, just come here and be honest like normal.
All right, Tom. Yeah, they're all shit.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents, and a little bit different this Thursday. We're pre-recording this on Tuesday evening on the 30th of November. The deadline has just gone, though, and we're about to preview a game which is within our current game week. So I'm not going to be asking Ricky why he's only got like 7 points from his first 12, from his first eight played, and why Tom's going to dig me out about the fact I've sold Tony and Mbeumo or Mbeumo or Kinder Bueno or Mbomo or whatever his name is. We'll get on to all that in a bit. We are previewing tonight's Tottenham and Brentford match. We'll also be looking at the weekend fixture for both teams. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Tottenham correspondent, Ricky Saunders. How are you, Ricky?
I'm really good, thanks, James. Yeah, you?
Yeah, good man. Still a bit cold from Sunday.
Have you fall down yet?
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Class. And let me introduce you to our Brentford correspondent, Tom Med. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, mate. Not too bad at all.
Good man. Ricky, Antonio Conte. Since we last spoke, what's your thinking?
Well, I was really excited, and not a lot seems to have changed since he's come in. I think the work is much bigger than we certainly anticipated it was going to be. The amount of shite in that club is unbelievable, and it's taken him. I kind of naively expected that there'd be an instant uplift and we'd start winning games instantly. And yeah, what he's got to work with is clearly very, very poor. But I've got lots of faith that he will get there. He just needs to get to January, ship out some crap and bring his own people in.
How bad was last week's disaster in Slovenia to you?
We've been beaten before. I remember getting pastings from Newcastle, you know, last day of the season a couple of years ago. There was a 7-0, I seem to remember. Was it 7-0 or 6-0 or about 6-1? But
7-1 the league, 6-1 the cup, yeah.
Yeah, we've been beaten, we've been hammered, but we've never been beaten by such a piss-poor team as that before. That was awful. And once again, as we've said so many times, James, it's not the fact that we've been beaten, it was the way we were beaten. Zero fight, zero effort, players that you would expect to step up doing absolutely nothing. And there was players in that team that I really thought would step up because they're playing for the, you know, first appearance for a new manager, and they just let themselves down. And some of them I can't see ever playing for this club again.
Do you want to name a shame, Neb?
Yeah. Doherty?
Gladly.
Yeah, gladly. Doherty is not even a footballer, mate. I don't know what he is. He's utterly awful. And as much as it pains me, mate, Dele, he is done. It's no way back for that man, I don't think. He's been given... What's this now? He's let down, what, five managers now, I think? all on the bounce. Shows nothing.
I don't know how you're keeping score, mate.
Well, it might be near a 9 or 10. I can't remember now. But yeah, it must be five managers now he's played for, and his performances under all of them have been woeful. Other than a brief spell with Mourinho, where he actually looked like he was getting back to somewhere near his old form. But I think the last thing of note he did was that pass when he was on the floor against West Ham. And a couple of penalties since then, and that's about it. But he's done, mate. He's as a footballer for us, top level, he's done.
Yeah, it's sad, actually. I want to come back onto obviously some of the individuals and the system. Tom, you must be still pretty delighted with what's going on your end, mate. 12th, 16 points taken from the first 13. Actually, go level on points with Tottenham should you win the game on Thursday evening. Do you feel like you're going to be comfortably safe away from trouble, or is it still nerves kind of looking over your shoulder constantly?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think up until the weekend game against Everton, obviously we won, but I'm going to put how we won that game was a little bit little nerve-wracking. I'm about to say second half, they just... Well, they couldn't score because they didn't have any goal scorers on. That's the only reason they didn't score, really. Quality of the games have actually been really good. I thought we played really well. I think the only bad game we've had, really, is first half against Norwich and the Burnley game. Other than that, we've been... I mean, second half against Norwich, I think we had, like, 15 or 16 shots. It was a bit ridiculous, but obviously played well against Chelsea and Leicester as well. So, I mean, the last five games have been... Everyone's been saying, oh, they haven't won in five. And obviously, well, Newcastle as well, 3-0. Haven't won in five, but then obviously getting the win against Everton. I mean, we're sitting 12th in the Prem. I can't complain at all. Three points off Spurs. I think that's not bad at all.
It doesn't say much at the moment. I wouldn't gloat about it too much, even if you draw a level with us, my friend. But yeah, I know what you're saying. I think before the Everton game, I'd said it. I'm a bit worried they're going to get sucked back in. And I'm still a little bit suspicious that you might actually. At the time of recording, you got doubts over a few players, haven't you? Kanos, Henry and Norgaard for the game on Thursday night.
Yeah, so they've all been... Frank said today that he expects them all to play. Whether they actually do or not, I'm not 100% sure. I think they will. I mean, they're all pretty indispensable there. So, I mean, if Kanos is out, that's not a good one at all, because he's so versatile. He's played, what, every single position on the pitch so far this year, hasn't he? He played right wing back, left wing, right wing. I mean, he's been striker at some points this year, so that wouldn't be good at all. And obviously, if Henry's out, that is... I mean, we don't have... Well, Kanos will be our second left back, so... I mean, hopefully.
What does the team look like if they're all missing? And we don't think that will be the case.
If they're all missing?
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
Is that a disaster?
I mean, yeah. I mean, no Kanos and no Henry means we have, I think, one fit wing back, which would be Mads Roslev, who played against Newcastle. And I mean, he got ripped apart by Alexander-Maximan. I mean, he literally just... tore him a new one. That was, I mean, it was his first game in the Prem, and he's only young, but still, he got absolutely ripped apart. And then on the left hand side, we've got a youngster called Dom Thompson, but I think he's on loan with Swindon. So yeah, we've literally got no cover on the left. Well, the cover on the left is Kanos. So if they both went out, then yeah, I think we're playing a three back with some wingers playing as wingers, not fullbacks. So could be interesting.
I pick up from that what you're saying is squad depth is a huge problem.
Yeah, because it's...
Which is to be expected a little bit.
It's a weird one.
Promotion, like, for the first time.
We've seen a few injuries, obviously, already this season. I mean, we've got Christoph Ayers out at the moment. He's back in mid-December. Zanka was the one we bought in. He's injured. Sorensen got injured at the start of the season. So that's three centre-backs out already. And we're playing Pinnock, Janssen and Charlie Goods coming to the team now. And that is, I think that is the three centre-backs. I mean, if we get another injury, it's a four-back, so... As we saw against Newcastle, they swapped to a four-back because, to be honest, I don't think Frank really trusts Charlie Goode. He came back in on the weekend, and to be honest, I thought he was brilliant. But he gets a lot of abuse because he's not played many games. But I was pretty happy for him to get a clean sheet. So, but that is the three centre backs at the moment. So another one out could be dodgy. I know Sorensen's just coming back from fitness, so I mean we should hopefully be back to four centre backs. But yeah, squad depth and the defence is pretty shoddy.
So Charlie, is he good or is he not good?
I mean, he's okay. He's all right. I mean, he's not setting the world alight as centre back. He's nothing on the other centre backs we've got. What we signed him from, he was captain of Northampton Town when we signed him in the Championship. He joined us, was injured for the whole season, so never really got a game. So it's never like he's got up to pace even to the Championship. So he's gone from captain of a League One side, who were in the playoffs, I believe, when we signed him, all the way up to the Premier League, and that's sort of like, well, the weekend was his first debut for the club. No, that's a lie, sorry. First Prem debut for the club, but yeah. I mean, he's not played many games at all for Brentford previously.
I'll give you a hypothetical situation because this is how FPL works. Right?
4-0.
So you go to Tottenham on Thursday night, you win 1-0.
Yeah.
You know how many DMs you're going to get about, is this guy nailed?
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely not.
He is not the budget defender to buy, is he?
No,
basically.
Definitely not. I mean, as soon as Sorensen can actually put some pressure on his second leg, I feel like he'll be back in the team. So, yeah, he's back on the bench.
Most people won't have seen Sorensen. No. What can you tell us about him?
He can throw the ball literally from one end of the pitch to the other. I mean, as can most of our defenders, apparently.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's... I mean, he's not the world's best defender, but again, he's a youngster. I think he's, 21 or 22 years old. He is pretty good, to be honest. He's an absolute beast. I mean, he's just a few inches shorter than Ethan Pinnock, I think. But yeah, he is where the long ball throw-in started for us last season. I mean, he literally can launch it. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, Olympic shot put style, that is. So, pretty impressive.
I don't know about you, Ricky, but I thought we got rid of Shite in red and white stripes and long throws a really long time ago, but apparently not. But it's interesting because obviously the Chelsea game, Tom, like the pressure you put on them at the end of that game, it was one of the most enjoyable 20-minute periods I've seen of any game this year, because I'd sat watching the game, like most people, probably wanting the underdog to do well, but like really willing you to score. I got pulled into it, and you reflect on it afterwards and you go, that's not the type of football I want to watch. But that was enthralling watching that happen.
Do you
think that since then teams have become much more conscious of that period and how much you, I mean, you should have got something against Chelsea, and now are they putting up different resistance to you in different ways? Do you think?
I don't think because I mean, like, just looking from the Everton game, some of the long balls that were just breaking through that Everton defence. I mean, you know, the Everton defence isn't renowned for being particularly watertight, but I mean, some of those long ball throws going into the box, they just couldn't deal with them. Like, it was only the fact that, you know, it's a challenge for the first ball, and then it's whoever basically gets on the second ball. And they were obviously, you know, there's a bit of the luck of the bounce maybe on the weekend, but they couldn't compete with it at all. It looked actually like it's still a tactic which is working for us. Good old, so yeah. Sorensen is the second coming of Rory Delap. So
who's the throwing specialist at the moment till he's back?
So Charlie Goode actually throws an absolute, he can launch one.
He didn't even play against Chelsea. It's getting worse.
No, I know. Yeah, he was doing all the long throws for the weekend against Everton. Sorensen, when he's back, he'll be on them. And yeah, but to be honest, Pinnock's got a bit of a rocket on him as well. So yeah, I mean, so basically, it's a bit weird because it almost becomes like a corner for us when we've got to throw in anywhere near the box.
So, you looking forward to this game, Ricky?
I was. I just got to say that, I mean, if
Tom's just made me shit myself.
Yeah, and to be fair, if this young kid, if all he's got on him is a long throw, it's still more than Doherty's got about his game.
Yeah, we'll have him. I don't even know if he can play right wing back, but we'll have him reserve right wing back. What have you, Ricky? What are you making of the system? It's something that we've only really seen for a brief period under Pochettino in sort of 16, 17 for a few months. Worked well, but other than that, Tottenham have not been a side that plays back three regularly. How do you feel early on seeing it?
Well, it's something I think we all expected to see at the start of the season with Nuno, and we didn't. And I think that's because we can't play that way, or we struggle to play that way. It's going to take time. I think the game being called off against Burnley, although it didn't do you many favours, it actually worked in our favour, because it just gives Conte that bit of extra time with the players. To defend long throws and learn to run in a straight line. He hasn't had a lot of time since he's come in. Obviously, he came in, players on international break, straight into a game, straight into a midweek game, straight into a game at the weekend. So I don't know how much time he's had on the training ground, but the more time he gets, the more we're going to adapt to it. But we're struggling. We need reinforcements, because you pick any of those three centre-backs, and to be fair, Dier has been really good the last couple of games, probably our best player. But take him out, and what else we've got there at centre-back just ain't good enough to play in a back three. So it's...
No, the necessity for central defenders is huge.
Where we need to strengthen more than any other place on the pitch, I think. But I think it can work, and we know that Conte can make it work. He's just got to get a load of players. And it's ironically the only player we've got that she's playing in a back three or as part of a back five is Doherty. I don't want him anywhere near the side.
I don't think that's going to be happening much, mate. I don't even know if you trust him to play in a cup competition at the moment. I'm not convinced by that at all. So you started playing it, Tom, this season almost exclusively. And it was something that kind of started towards the back end of last season. How do you feel watching your team play a back three? How is it different to what you would have seen from Brentford previously?
I think, so previously there was a lot of... I think the reason they changed was basically we were playing the back four and we started conceding loads of goals. Like towards the end of the back end of last season, just before we changed to a back three, we just started conceding loads of goals and it just wasn't working for us at all. Changed to a back three and it just... All of a sudden, I think up to the end of last season, I think we kept like 8 clean sheets out of 10 games or something silly. So it was just sort of the obvious change for us, really. Yeah, I mean, I've quite enjoyed watching it because having, it's almost like, I think we spoke about it before, but having Henry and Canos on the wings, like, well, Canos isn't a wing back. He's a right winger. Exactly. So he doesn't even really play. He has actually come across and played really well as a defender, mainly because he just, I think, just loves to fight everybody. So he's happy just to throw himself about. But I think he's on, the amount of yellow cards he picks up is ridiculous. But it's been interesting. I've really enjoyed watching it change from a back three. I'm sort of still in hope that we go back to a back four and it's a 4-3-3, just because you were saying about squad depth, and our squad depth is all in the centre midfield positions. Like, we have more centre midfielders than you can shake a stick at, and the quality of them is, I mean, it's our, I think it's, obviously everyone talks about Tony, but some of the players that we have in centre mid is, I'd say, equivalent to Tony, and there's some players in there which can definitely fulfil some potential which will be better than that. And
yeah. But you're playing with three in there at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
So what difference would that make?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, Chance. Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe just squeeze one more in there somewhere. I think Mbeumo's obviously playing up as a striker. Whether you can almost have one sitting back and then maybe having one sitting behind the attack. There's, I think, our centre attacking mids. We've still got Josh De Silva coming back from injury. He's not going to be back for a while. But I think there's potential to have another one in there.
My thoughts with a back three is you'd get Vissa into the team to play one side of Tony and Mbeumo plays the other side, and then it really is a front three.
Yeah.
But then you're not going to play Canos at right back. So then he's going to come out the team.
He's too defensive. It's a throw up, really. It'll be one or the other, I think. Canos did play as a left back last season. When Henry had, I think he was out for about 8 or 9 games, Canos deputised pretty much for the entirety of that. So he can play that position, but I don't think he's trusted to do the defensive job that's necessary, if that makes sense. So it's an interesting one. I just think there's lots of... Yeah, Vissa would be really interesting. I don't think he's... Because of he's just been come back from injury again, he's not challenging at the moment. But he obviously was on that real hot streak just before he got injured, where everyone was going, oh, maybe he takes Mbeumo's spot in the team, or if Mbeumo gets subbed and he comes on and manages to do so, and then there's potential that he comes in for him. But at the moment, I don't think there's any threat there.
No, but he's next in line, I think, isn't he? More than, say, like Force had a couple of games, didn't he? Mbeumo missed the Burnley game.
Yeah.
And ironically, that was your poorest performance of the season by a distance. How do you feel about the wing-back matchups in this particular game with Canos presumably against Reguilón and Henry against Emerson Royal? How do you feel about that? Those matchups?
Fine, yeah. I'm not... I feel like the... I don't know, really. I mean, I've not really thought about it enough to go, I'm worried about it, if that makes sense.
Oh, I don't say you should be worried, mate.
No.
I'll throw that to Ricky then, because part of the reason I asked that was double-edged, to get Ricky's opinion on Emerson and Reguilón. I got a slight preference for, and I lean this towards fantasy Premier League now. I got a slight preference for Emerson. And of course, as soon as I did that, Reguilón scored his first goal for the club against Leeds. It's typical. It's absolutely obvious. Find himself in the 6-yard box for the first time in his life. What do you think about the two of them as options for FPL and also as options as Tottenham's longer-term wingbacks?
I'll go with FPL first of all. I'm like you. I like Emerson. I've been really impressed with him. He seems to have... Reguilón sometimes can... he seems to run into blind alleys a little bit, a little bit headless. I don't think he's the world's greatest defender, but in a back three, that's not what he's there for anyway, really. So that's not the world's biggest problem. But the first game I studied Emerson was the Palace game. And although we got battered, he really put himself about and he looked up for it, even in a team that was really poor on the day. So I really like him. And I think he's the better option for fantasy going forward. A little bit cheaper. I think he's going to get his potential for attacking returns is actually slightly higher as well. As long-term picks, I don't know how long Riggy's going to be around. But Real Madrid, you keep on hearing that they're sniffing around him. He's got this this buyback clause in his contract where they can come and get him for a bit of an uplift on what we paid. But if you were to tell me that there will still be our fullbacks in 5-6 years, I wouldn't be particularly unhappy about it. I think at the moment where we are, they're probably about as good as what we can get.
They're not the biggest problems with that team at the moment.
No, not at all. Like I say, centre back, yes. Central midfield, yes. We need to do something there. We've been saying this for probably 4 years now, but Harry needs a partner massively.
He's got one. He can't stop having kids with her, mate.
Well, yeah, that's fair enough. even Hugo is going to be a bit of a problem because of the length of contract he's got left. So I'd probably say that fullback is the area at the minute we could just leave and forget about.
Is there enough depth there, though? You're looking at Doherty as backup for Emerson.
No, there's no depth there. But if
Ryan Sessegnon absolutely blew his chance in Slovenia last week, didn't he?
I so wanted that guy to do well. Yeah, I'm such a fan of his. It's okay. We've got very little depth there, and we've got Ben Davis on the other side, but he's not the same kind of swashbuckling. But you've got the little wild cards of Mora and maybe even someone like Sonny that could do a job in that position.
I saw Sonny play as a wing back against Chelsea in the cup semi in 17. I don't need to see that again,
okay,
mate.
Okay, all right. but Mora, definitely. Mora.
But I think, I'm glad that you brought it up because that was my instinct at first was, I wonder if you might use Lucas at wing back a little bit like Victor Moses. Mm. I wonder if Bergwijn could be used as a wing back as well. Because, I mean, Bergwijn works hard, mate.
I really like Bergwijn. I've always liked him. But what I'm reading is that Conte doesn't like him. He's only spoken about two words to him since he came into the club. And apparently, so I read today, he was Inter Milan wanted to sign him and he vetoed the move when he was there. He's not a fan at all. And he's one of the players apparently that's been earmarked to go in January.
That's news to me. Thanks, Ricky, for my evening again. Cheers.
Yeah, sorry, mate. It's just I really like him and it's a massive shame. And I mean, bloody hell, Lucas one side and Bergwijn the other as fullbacks. I'd take that all day long.
As fullbacks, look at you.
wingbacks.
you've had 2 years of Mourinho and you're like, yeah, just play the wingers at fullback. Yeah, like whatever, just give me something else.
Give me something.
I think there's scope where you could, a little bit exactly like what's happened with Brentford, where Henry really is a left back who's progressed much better as an attacking player and Canos is a winger who drops in and you can have that balance. And of course, when you've got that as well, if you've got a right-sided centre-back who can play full-back, obviously you can just shove the system if you need to. Now, Conte probably won't as much as actually, ironically, as perhaps Thomas Frank would maybe do in terms of you spoke about the slight tweak against Newcastle, which I wasn't convinced about, to be honest.
They ditched it after about 60 minutes. So, mainly because Roslev was getting absolutely battered by St. Max. He just bought him off, bought on Goud and put Canos back at right wing-back. Completely changed the formation back to what it was. It settled a lot more after that. I mean, it was still a ridiculous game. I think it was one of the most ridiculous games I've watched in a long time. I think 4-3-3 is dead for us at the moment because we don't have a good enough right back to play that position. Canos playing right wing back is one thing, but playing him at right back, it wouldn't really work. And I don't think Roslev's right at the standard just yet to be playing a 4-3-3. So that's why I don't think it will happen. And I think we'll stick with what we've got for the foreseeable.
Well, talk to me about these midfielders then. What's the best three from what you've got?
Best three at the moment will be Norgaard, Janow, and Josh De Silva once he's back fit.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I personally would say he's our best player at the club. And I'd say potentially, I mean, it's between him and Tony, but I mean, Josh De Silva is just another level of a player for me. He's just so good on the ball. He's 22 years old. In the Championship last year before he injured, I think he was near in double digits for goals and assists from sort of like a centre attacking mid position. So he's not getting in the box loads, and some of the goals and some of the assists he puts in are a class. Jensen's obviously in there as well. I mean, he's a good player, and he's playing at the moment. Just come back from COVID, so I'd assume he'll start against Spurs on Thursday. But we'll
see. When's the Silva due back? So a lot of the listeners won't know the name at all. He's 5.3 in FPL.
Yeah. It's really, no one really knows, to be honest. He had a hip injury last year that ruled him out, everyone said, to the end of the season. He then had more surgery on the same hip injury, which has now ruled him out. I mean, he's not even been registered in the Prem this year up until January.
Was he not?
No. So,
well, we ain't playing anytime soon then.
No, definitely not. He's definitely not coming back until at least, but they reckon he'll be registered in the January transfer window, and then he should be fit around the start of January, is what they're hoping for. Thomas Frank's basically just said,
he's that guy we're going to get in like blank game week 30 who hasn't played at all because Tom Med said so.
Yeah, I hope so.
What it's going to be.
I'll be the only one without him. So, and then he'll score a hat-trick. Yeah, no.
I seem to get you, whenever I put it your midfield, I seem to get it wrongly every week.
Well, I do it
obviously,
for...
Norgaard plays all the time, got that. But then between the others, I seem to get one wrong every week.
I do the... I help Harry do the lineups each week for Brentford, and every week I get it wrong. I mean,
it's not just me then.
Yeah, oh no. I mean, every week I'm like, right, it makes sense for them to play this game because... So like against Everton on the weekend, I was like, right, it makes sense to have Norgaard and Janot playing, and then have Jensen in the middle because Jensen will then be the attacking threat. No, he plays Onyeka instead, who's more of a ball-winning midfielder. And I'm just like, all right, fine, fair enough. And then this week, I've guessed again. I'll probably get it wrong again. So,
which three did you guess?
I went Janot, Norgaard, Jensen. To be fair, Jensen was coming back from COVID, so I feel that's probably why he wasn't put straight in the team. Those are the three that I probably would be starting. I think because we've obviously signed that Onyeka from Midtjylland at the summer. I would say he's not quite found his feet yet. He looks good when he plays, but he hasn't looked like the signing we signed him as, if that makes sense.
And Ricky, Skip and Højbjerg, is that the obvious two in midfield?
Yeah.
Is there any debate on it at the moment?
No. The only reason to change that would be if someone needs a rest. I think Højbjerg could run between now and the end of the season, still not get tired, and Skip's just had a week off. I think Winks, he didn't do too bad in the game. No, actually, no, he was pretty crap, actually, against Leeds, wasn't he?
I thought he tried on.
He tried, yeah. He and do you know what? Sometimes that's all you want. And he came on, he got his chance, and he did try. He's just not...
What have we come to? He tried on.
You know what I mean? I feel like a Newcastle fan. Well, we just want to see the effort. but we've seen so many players not giving a shit. It was actually refreshing. But no, they're the only two, really, for that position. Lo Celso still got a bit of a knock. And Ndombele, he's just an enigma. I don't think he's going to be at the club much longer either.
I'm unfortunately probably in agreement with you, Ricky, in the fact that he's a sellable asset that will get some money and can be reinvested at some point as well.
I'd love it to have worked because on his day, he is amazing, but his day is, we mentioned Genus earlier, or Genus, whatever you want to say it, once in every 5-6 games, mate, and that's all you get out of him.
That was normally one in every 20, wasn't it? Whenever he played against Arsenal, he seemed to do all right, ironically.
Come up with a free kick once every 12 or 13 games, and it gave him another run in the team.
Another 20 grand on his contract in another couple of years. Yeah, I get you. For those who missed it, Oliver Skip was named in the team that was going to play at Burnley. So too, Ricky, was Davinson Sanchez instead of Japhet Tanganga. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, it was, because Davinson Sanchez is another one that can do one, as far as I'm concerned. I think maybe, obviously, Burnley, they grind it out. They're clever. They're clever players. They know how to get an advantage. And Japhet's proved a few times that maybe he's a young head on young shoulders. He gets wound up easy. And I think they'd have taken the piss, in all honesty. And I think maybe a bit more experience at the back with Sanchez.
So which one do you think plays against Brentford?
I think that Tanganga might come back in. I think it's a game that's quite suited for him. He's not gonna get the run around like he would have done from the Burnley front line.
I'm thinking with the aerial threat though. Tanganga's not the biggest, and you've got Ben Davis on the other side, is definitely not the biggest.
No.
Sanchez is better in the air, isn't he?
He's better in the air, but you've also got Dyer, who's better in the air again. So I think if he can mop up long throws, crosses, things like that, that might suffice.
And if someone asked you in FPL, Ricky, Dyer or Davis?
Don't, mate. Seriously, you said earlier on
I'm asking
about
you. I bought one of them, mate.
About Tom and his time, his direct messages. Now that Davis is back in the side, I'm getting Dyer or Davis. If I could pick one, it would have to be Dyer because I know he's going to play every game, whereas Davis, no, he's not. And you're talking about a team that's got, was it one clean sheet in nine now? Yeah. And you could... I don't need all of these to count Davis's attacking returns, so no, Dyer. And I think Dyer's going to be on free kicks as well because I think Harry's finally realised he can't take one. It's woeful.
No, I don't think he's scored one since that goal against Villa ago.
The one that took a deflection that took into a different postcode.
One against Stoke, which was a big deflection as well, I remember, at Tottenham. But yeah, I don't think he's scored a proper free kick for the club. I don't think, no. No, I don't have a problem with Eric Dyer being on. You're quite right. I guess it's a weapon, not that we score from many of them anyway. My reasoning for going for Davis was, again, it's short term. I knew that he was going to stay in the team at the moment and I'd get rid of him in 16 on the wild card. I mean, if anyone wants to buy a Tottenham defender because they've worked out some sort of sexy rotation, which I can assure you probably won't, then Dyer from the cheaper ones would be the way to go. Mm. And I think longer term, Ricky, Emerson and Reguilon, if you're looking longer term,
yeah,
I'd not worth it, right? Or
not at the moment, but let's see what Conte does. Let's see how he embeds his system. I'm not saying I'm gonna, but I'm like you, I'm wild carding, mate. The very minute I can do on Saturday, I'm hitting that wild card button. And Royal's on my watch list. Emerson's on the watch list, mate, and he could be coming in. But he's certainly my favourite out of the two.
So you're going to let these sexy fixtures go and then buy him?
He's nice and cheap.
I'm not sure he is, mate.
Well,
you've got like Ben Johnson playing at West Ham, who's 4.0, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been so close to signing him for ages now, and I keep thinking, Kufau. He's got to come back at some point. But it depends. If I go for a five at the back every week, Royals, especially with Chilwell's injury, Royals definitely.
You ain't picking a Tottenham defender every week, Ricky. I don't know. You're trying to blame.
Oh, mate, I'm trying to promote my team here, James. Do me a favour,
mate. Just come here and be honest, like normal.
All right, Tom. Yeah, they're all shit. I ain't getting any of them.
let's talk about this front two. Can you tell everyone the correct pronunciation for Kinder Bueno?
What, Brian Mbeumo?
Brian Mbeumo. Is this correct? I'm going with whatever you say.
Right. I'm going yes. I mean, yeah.
Mbeumo.
Yeah, Mbeumo, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah.
So can you tell everyone your FPL team name?
Kinder Mbeumo.
So what's your team name now, mate?
Oh, it's Kinder Mbeumo, obviously. I mean, it's not I didn't know how to pronounce it in the first sort of five or six game weeks. And I blame the Championship, because the Championship, every single commentator called him Mbeumo, and then he joined the Premier League and then he became more fancy and now he's Mbeumo. So you can blame the EFL for that one.
I am aware, and this is obviously difficult to say going into a game still left in the game week, but I'm aware that plenty have still carried him through. What would you be saying to people who still got him in FPL, mate?
What, Brian or... Yeah.
No, Brian. We'll come on to Tony in a second.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it at all, to be honest. I really like it still. I mean, the thing is, they've got quite... Brentford actually don't have the worst fixture run in the world. And I think with the price rises of Gallagher, Smith-Rowe, you're looking at almost like, what? Almost half a mil more expensive for them now, is it? Well, Gallagher's almost 6 mil, is he? And Brian Mbeumo is still at 5.6 or 5.5.
I think Gallagher's about 6-1 actually. Now.
Is he?
I don't think Mbeumo would be staying 5-6 for long, unless he scores on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just going to keep nosediving now, isn't it?
It seems to be. I think a lot of people, since obviously Tony scored his penalty on the weekend, I think people are going back towards Tony. Someone did private message me the other day and said, who should I keep, Tony or Mbeumo? And I did say, stay with Tony and get rid of Mbeumo if you're going to get rid of one. And it's because there's just so many good midfield options, and there's just absolutely shit all in the striker front. So, you know, from a cheapness point of view, for a striker, Tony's still ridiculously cheap, I think, and Bumo's is cheap midfielder, but there's better ones, I think.
Is your strategy just to keep Tony regardless?
Yeah.
I want to say you've had him all season.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I've had him all season, yeah. And I've chopped and changed him out a few times, but maybe pure pride will make me keep him in for the rest of the season, but it depends how well I'm doing at that point, I guess. So, not sure at the moment.
So you got two Brentford players or three?
Two, just two.
If you were adding defensively, which one?
Henry. Yeah, all day.
That's comfortable now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
I so nearly bought him.
Yeah.
He scored against Norwich.
Well, he's got two. He had two and two, didn't he? He got.
I sound like one of them horrible people that I hate. You know that. Oh, I nearly bought him.
Well, I think
I really nearly did.
Everyone at the start. I think at the start we looked really good defensively, and then now we've got the injury to the goalkeeper Raya, and obviously we've got Fernandez in. They just seem to be. I mean, he's had what, four or five games in the Prem, so I expect to take a bit of time for him to be able to communicate with his defence, like in a game level. So I think we will concede goals, and that's why I'm starting Son this weekend. And so you basically look at then, well, what can we do from an attack point of view? And at 4.5 million, Rico Henry literally just plays as a left winger. So you may as well just, if you do need a 4.5 mil defender and you haven't had Livramento from the start, then he seems like the obvious option at the moment, I think, from a Brentford point of view.
I bought Ben Davies instead.
Well, you know, that's you also got rid of Ivan Toney and bought in Callum Wilson. So there we go. I mean, I finally got my dig in.
Leave it. We don't know the Newcastle Norwich score at the time of recording. Leave it be, my friend. But I can totally get why you'd want to keep Toney long term anyway. For me, it was just a very short term, just trying to attack the fixtures.
Yeah.
But I really like him, mate. I really rate him. I think he's possibly a little bit unlucky to have not as many returns as he's got. He could have had more, in my opinion.
Definitely,
actually.
Yeah.
Do you think he's England level?
I mean, Gareth Southgate purely should choose him to bring him on at the 119th minute to have him take a penalty. Exactly. I mean, literally, when we got a penalty against Everton on the weekend, I was like, well, I may as well start drafting my tweet now saying get in. So, I just, every time he steps up for a penalty spot, I mean, the day he misses it, it'll probably be the start of the apocalypse. So, yeah, he just is so. I've never seen someone I don't think is cool taking a penalty. I can't think of anyone that.
I'll go to the bar if you get one on Thursday, mate.
Yeah, I would. I mean, his penalty taking is ridiculous. And like you said, I mean, he's had good options, opportunities this year. Some good saves. I think Pope and Schmeichel kept him out in the Burnley and Leicester games pretty well. There's a couple of good headers that he had in there. But, you know, on another day, could have snuck in. So. Yeah, I think it's still a good option.
And the Mbeumo plan, because obviously after this game, Leeds away, Watford at home, as you quite rightly point out, like the fixtures aren't too bad. So, I mean, you think you'll stick it out?
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping him off. I mean, for me, it's like, who do I really want to go to instead? And there isn't many other people I want to go to. I mean, from a personal point of view, there's definitely no one else I want to go to. I'm happy to stick with him. I think it will come good. I mean... He's hit the post seven times. I mean, he's got to score one at some point, doesn't he? I think even he is taken to the point now where he's... I'm
pretty sure it'll be Thursday, mate.
He posted a picture on Instagram the other week and of him posting how many times he hit the crossbar compared to the rest of the players in the top five leagues around the world. And
I thought you were going to say he posted a picture of a net.
No. No, how many times he's hit the post. I mean, even he. I think it's even the fact that he's not scored as many goals he probably should have is even a bit of a joke to him at the moment. So he's still, I think... The fact he's done that shows that he's still confident and he's still, you know, he's. I think he's going to bang a couple soon.
Did you go there as well, Ricky?
No,
on Bumo. Did you go there?
Oh yeah, I'm still there.
Oh wow,
yeah, I'm still.
So
there.
So what's your plan? Because I've ditched, but my circumstances are a little bit different in terms of I've gone very short term. What's your plan, Ricky?
To wild card on Saturday morning. Well, Saturday afternoon.
And he'll be gone.
And he'll be gone, mate, yeah.
So have you started him this game week?
Yeah. And Tony.
I have.
Yeah.
And Tony. And you started Tony, both of them against Tottenham.
God, it's Tottenham, mate. Would you? Come on, lads. It's only Tottenham.
Well, I just sold them both.
Look, everyone that needs a goal or that, you know, is coming back from injury or whatever, they always score against us. We know this. And Wemo will score against Tottenham. I'm literally put my house on it.
I take it you started them both then as well, Tom.
No, I got Mbeumo on the bench for sub. So, I mean, to be fair, I've not risked it too much because I got Reece James playing, and it was just in case Reece James played. But I mean, from what I've heard, he's pretty much not going to play.
But... we're out of date now. Moving on.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Okay, what you got Spurs wise, Ricky, at the moment?
Kane.
Just Kane.
Yeah.
Son for me.
Don't ask me how that's going for me.
You didn't stick the armband on Harry Kane, did you?
Do you know what? I almost did, but I decided not to.
Why did you choose not to?
Because we're shit.
That's a very good answer.
No, the serious answer is, I suppose, FOMO, mate. Everyone, the world and his wife will be on Salah regardless of who he's playing, regardless of who else anybody else is playing. So I thought I'd just play it safe.
So, again, for the listeners, obviously, we don't know what's happened in the Everton-Liverpool game. By the time this goes out, you will. We don't. But let's say Mo Salah's fine. He's come through unscathed. Wolves away this weekend. Harry plays all right Thursday night, gets a goal or two against Brentford. And then at the weekend, he's got Norwich at home. Are you then tempted?
Absolutely. I think Harry needs a goal. And I know he's got some in the Carabao Cup and Europe and whatever else, but he needs a Premier League goal. As soon as he gets it, I think he's going to be all right. So yeah,
that's what they said when he scored at Newcastle, mate, if I want to bleed devil's advocate.
Yeah, that is true. But we were still under Nuno then, so.
That's also true.
Yeah. No, if he looks good, and I'm kind of hoping that Salah does play against Everton, because then he probably will get his rest of the weekend. If Harry puts in a performance and nicks a goal, all day long, Saturday, captain.
If I said to you, Mo Salah's definitely going to play at Wolves, or let's just say hypothetically Salah was left out, and I don't see why Salah won't play anyway, because they've got a Champions League game, they've already won the group.
Yeah.
Let's assume in your mind Mo Salah's going to play at Wolves, you're saying you're going to take him on, you're going to go Harry Kane captain this week.
Yep.
If he comes through tonight unscathed, obviously.
Yep.
Okay. I might do the same, which is a little bit scary. Tom, you've got Sonny.
Yep.
What made you go that way?
I just think... I'm not really sure. Drunk. Sorry?
Were you drunk?
Yeah, no, yeah, probably.
I couldn't remember.
I thought with this fixture run coming up, it made sense to go for him. Obviously, the Burnley postponement on the weekend was a bit of a blow to that.
Have you just bought him before?
No,
the
I bought him the
well.
Week before that. So obviously, blank
Leeds,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got him in for the four, basically. I just thought of the two players. It was one of those where Son was cheaper and easier to get to. Kane required a lot of surgery to get to him. It was like, because I didn't have Ronaldo or Lukaku or anyone like that. I mean, so I think my most expensive player at forward was Antonio. So I think at the time I might have had Kevin De Bruyne. So I think it was KDB to Son. So I mean, it was an easy, really
Straight
easy,
forward,
yeah,
yeah,
really
cool.
easy swap. So yeah, it made sense. Yeah, and hoping he scores in a nice 3-2 loss on the weekend on Thursday.
Against Norwich.
No,
listen, I know you want us to beat Norwich. Let's be real.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's your plan? Obviously, you're not going to sell him before Norwich if he's fit. Is the plan to move on afterwards?
Yeah, so I'm still without Jota and a Man City midfielder. So the plan at the moment is I've got Rafinha and Son, so it's an easy swap to go Jota and Bernardo or Jota and Gundogan or whoever's playing at that time, basically.
Ricky, if you're wildcard in 16, I take it that's your plan. You're saying you want to hit the button Saturday and... me and you may both want to do that if we've Captain Kane. At least we can rage transfer the whole team rather than just one player if we Captain Harry Kane at the weekend. Do you plan to have any Tottenham on that wild card?
unless I do decide to go for a cheeky punt for Emerson, no, I don't.
So no Kane, no Son for you?
No, nothing.
There are a few fixtures further ahead. There's Palace at home 19, Southampton away 20, Watford away 21. The Watford away might be interesting. I know, obviously, Chelsea, Liverpool playing each other. Manchester City go to Arsenal, and Manchester United got Wolves at home. And when it lands, depending on what state Watford and Tottenham are in by then, that looks like a potentially attractive one to possibly take on Salah for the captaincy as well. I think Crystal Palace, Salah's got Leeds at home. Southampton away doesn't appeal as much. Salah's got Leicester away. But that one in 21, might be one to keep in mind where you're thinking, yeah, actually, I want to have another look.
Yeah, and I might have a look nearer the time, but I was always going to get Kane for these four set of fixtures that we earmarked. I got him a little bit earlier than what I anticipated because of Lukaku's injury.
Same as that.
In those four games, I got him like two games early. He's got to be 8 points in four games. I don't want to keep him in wildcard and then sit there for another six games where he could potentially get me another 2 points a game. I've been waiting now for his returns for a while, and so far I ain't seen anything. So I'm done with holding really high priced assets for zero return, mate.
I mean, the one benefit with Kane and Tony through some of these blanks, they've both been flying up in price every week, regardless, because of
good fixtures
and stuff.
I can't believe. Yeah, Kane's more now than what I paid for him. I'm stunned by that.
But in Kane's case, obviously, after the Norwich game, if he doesn't perform in these next two, I mean, everyone will sell Kane and Son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If they underperform in these next two. And then it'd be very difficult for people to go back without a real kind of realization of form, because you'll go, well, that time there was a great run. I mean, the four run of fixtures was great, right? Okay, we lost the Burnley game. We still got three home games. If they don't do anything in any of them, then it's difficult to envisage people wanting them again.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing really that's going to make me want to keep him is if there's a couple of braces in the next two games and, you know, he's clearly in form and then I have to think again. But unless that happens, nah, mate, not for me.
I have to say, I have no intention to have any Tottenham players on my wild card at the moment, unless I saw something serious. I think if Sonny can recapture form, and I know there's been so much focus on Kane, but Son's not been playing particularly well either. Sonny will tick over great if he can rediscover his really good form, and I think he's still a very decent price if Tottenham return to scoring goals. Kane is still a lot to justify when you've got a near perma captain there so much of the time.
Yeah.
I was setting having him for ages, probably like you, Ricky, probably thinking this group of four fixtures originally, I'm going to captain Kane in most of them. So we've had two escapes so far, mate. We might have one more. I think me and you are going to shoot ourselves. And we've got to do it, haven't we? we've got to captain him against Norwich, haven't we?
I'm not going to win this game, so I may as well have a little bit of fun. And
yeah, but that's not fun. That's torture, isn't it?
It's fun if it pays off. Look mate, we're Tottenham fans. We are the eternal optimists. We will always do something more out of hope than expectation.
You never know, Ricky. It might go so bad tomorrow night, I'll be scrambling to put Ivan Toney back in the team and captain him at Leeds instead.
Well, do you know what? If I do transfer out Kane this week, it gives me a lot of money to play with.
Just briefly, because I mean, we've obviously touched on the Tottenham-Norwich game a little bit. Tom, thoughts on the trip to Leeds on Sunday?
It's one of those where I'm sort of, I should be way more optimistic than I am about it, because they've just not been playing particularly well at the moment. But
at time of recording, they might have won 5.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, they might be in Palace. Absolutely, at the moment, might be absolutely destroying them. They haven't been playing very well at the time of recording. They haven't looked very good. I mean, against Brighton, they look absolutely pummeled. I mean, the fact it was 0-0 was, I think, a bit of a shock, wasn't it? I should be more optimistic than I am, but it's one of those games, again, I think of a little bit like the Burnley game and the Newcastle game, where against these, you know, I say big teams, I think it's a bit harsh, but teams that have previously been up in the top half of the table, like the Everton, like on the weekend, they looked way more up for it, and the Chelseas and the Leicesters, we've been a lot more up for it. Against Burnley, we looked like we didn't want to be there. I mean, same with the Norwich game. The first half just looked like I didn't want to be there. So I feel like Leeds could be
Do you think there's a mentality issue there, possibly? Because I'll tell you what, if you go to Leeds and you're not mentally right, you get beat, finished.
I think
no matter how they're playing.
I don't think it's a mentality issue. I think the defeat to Burnley and Norwich definitely sorted that out. I think the amount of praise they were getting before those games was the issue. So even when we lost to Leicester and even when we lost to Chelsea, everyone was saying how brilliant we were and we should have beaten Chelsea. And, you know, when you're getting told that you should be beating the European champions,
you believe your hype a bit.
You start going, oh, actually, maybe we're pretty good. And then you go to Burnley and get spanked 3-1. Then it all kicks back in again. And I think the start of the Norwich game was a little bit on the start of that. And then second half, they look much better again. So hopefully that's not the case. And we turn up to Leeds and be the team that we know we can be. But I'm a bit nervous about it. A bit shaky.
I wish you luck for that one. I wish you luck for Thursday as well. Obviously, I hope you don't get anything. But I think bottom line, Tom, you've got to be very happy with where you're at the moment. You've had the other two teams come up with you who finished above you, have changed their manager. You look the strongest of the three at the moment. I'm just a little concerned from some of the things you're saying about the depth coming into these months as well, where you might need to change the team a little bit. Could be a little bit of a problem. But I think Henry is very reasonable defensively. Yeah. You are right with what you say about Mbeumo. On the data, I can completely get why people would still hold. I think most people have probably had enough. And Tony can just sit there.
Yeah.
He'll tick over absolutely fine. Ricky, as I said, on us, it's very short term. Just one final question, because I have seen this popping about. There are more people wildcarding in game week 16 than I thought I was going to be the only one originally. So if there's people left with the idea of taking a 1 week punt, the first place they probably want to look this weekend because of fixture may well be Tottenham at home to Norwich. If someone said to you, Lucas Moura, 1 week punt, you would say?
I would say yes.
But it's literally that, isn't it?
It's 1 week.
He's not a going forward asset, is he?
No. I think we both feel the same about Lucas. Absolutely love the guy. Whenever he's on the pitch, he gives everything. He does pop up with a goal every now and then. But it's 1 week. If I was to bring him in, he wouldn't be there come Saturday afternoon on the wild card. He'd be gone.
He's the only player in history inside 2.5 years to score a hat-trick in a Champions League semi-final and get a manager sacked by being substituted. Some double that one. Let's do predictions before we finish up. Ricky, firstly, for the game on Thursday against Brentford.
A scrappy 2-1.
To Tottenham?
Yeah, 2-1 to Tottenham. We've got to be made to fight for it, though. It's not going to come easy.
And Tom?
I think I'm going to go with 2-1 Brentford, because I assume we're equivalent to NS Miura, so...
Yeah, well, he's had that written down for a whole week, this I reckon. Guy, just what do you reckon?
On the wall, just...
He is the smiling assassin, isn't he? He comes all nice and then starts jabbing everybody.
These upstarts who get promoted, they think they're the bollocks of it. Till it starts snowing, Ricky. Till it starts snowing, they start disappearing. And Ricky, the game was Sunday against Norwich?
3-0. Tottenham, obviously.
Okay.
Well, say,
and Tom, for your trip to Leeds?
2-0 Brentford.
6 points this week away from home.
Why
easy
not?
Job, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I don't know why he's ain't worried about looking over your shoulder. You'd be qualifying for Europe. You carry on, mate, with those correct scores. I'm going to go 2-0 Tottenham for the game on Thursday. I'm going to back us back-to-back clean sheets here, Ricky. I'm going to go 3-0 Sunday as well. Sod it. What's the worst that'll happen?
Well, Emerson Royal, surely, then.
Well, I bought Davis, didn't I? So I'm a bit stuck now, aren't I? And I think you might get signed on Sunday. That's a really difficult one to call, actually. I think away to Leeds. I think you could win it. You could easily lose it as well. So I think I'd go a draw. I'm under no illusions, by the way, Tom, that this is going to be a very difficult game on Thursday evening. I know that from having played you in the Carabao semi-finals last year. You was dead unlucky.
Yeah.
And you're a stronger team now than what you were there. And I know you can hurt us. We're not right yet, but I've got faith, Ricky, that the manager knows what he's doing. I definitely believe that.
Yeah. Like I said, although performances and results haven't seen an improvement, I have got more faith in this guy than I've had for a long, long time.
Quite rightly so. As I'm sure you've got in yours, Tom, Frank's doing a great job, isn't he?
So, yeah, definitely. I completely missed that question. That was miles away.
Short team, mate.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, brilliant. I mean, he's entertaining. Everyone likes listening to him, it seems. He talks really well. Every time I listen to him, I sort of believe what he's saying. I think you listen to some managers and you go, nah, you don't believe that. Well, I actually listen to him and I go, you actually believe that we can do what you're saying, sort of thing. So, yeah, no, big fan at the moment, big fan.
Good stuff. Ricky, where can everyone follow you on Twitter?
Ricky Saunders 77.
Good man. And yourself, Tom?
FPL Dummy Tom.
plug the podcast,
sorry,
please.
I will. Yeah, and we do a weekly podcast on a Monday called FPL by Dummies with my mate Cam.
Good man. Invite me on sometime.
Yeah, no, I know. That was the next question.
About time I come to the piss on your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know. Exactly. Piss on mine.
No, brilliant. Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate that so much. Obviously, different this week with the midweek fixtures. So, full game week review from me and Serge, reviewing all the game week 14 action for you on Friday. Next week's Clash of Correspondents, I'm not going to give it the build up because we're recording on Tuesday. And we don't know what happened on Wednesday night, but it might be a big night on Monday night. Next Thursday's Clash of Correspondents is Crystal Palace versus Everton with Mictavious and Spirit Blues. And I really got my fingers crossed at Everton are getting some results by the time that comes around because they're in a bad way at the moment. Palace, certainly interesting going forward. They've got some good fixtures coming up. Right, thanks again to Ricky and to Tom. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.